Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Praise God. Brother Keyboard, you can hang out with me for a little bit. We'll read some scripture and we'll do that. I'm not going to do some big intro. My name's Fred. Hello. My wife is called Anna. She's amazing. We have a daughter called Micah. She's great. I run a church in Brisbane. It's going great. There we go. So I just really feel like the Lord just wants to move and impact us. And I really can't shake just this feeling of like you knowing that how great this church is. And I don't like Pastor Ken's already my friend, I think. I'm not doing this to try and like make him feel great. I just, when the gratitude of a people begins to rise unto the Lord in thankfulness to the community He's placed you in. Signs, wonders, miracles. You know what else happens? Is the lost that come in feel your gratitude to the house. They feel your appreciation for what the Lord is doing. And I do it too. It can be so easy to get very used to world-class facilities, world-class preaching, world-class leaders. Don't get familiar. Don't get familiar with the Lord and don't get familiar with His church. There's something really special here. And I'm actually excited because Pastor Chrissy said I could take half of this LED back with me tomorrow to Brisbane. And I just want to thank you for your generosity. I'm excited. It's going to go in our kids' room and it's about the size of our kids' room. So it's very powerful. Okay, all right. I want to talk to you. This isn't, by the way, some like super polished conference sermon. I did that this morning. Tonight is much more about setting us up to receive from heaven, setting us up, having our faith stirred. But we have to, I do believe this, we need to preach first scripture to encounter Him correctly. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if we can set a scriptural framework for what God wants to do, the encounter will be abiding. Because if you just have an encounter, if you just get impacted by God, but you don't change, you just got carpet burned and cried in front of 1,000 people. But the goal of encounter is always an invitation to lifestyle. And so I'm believing tonight the Lord is going to invite us into a different way of living. And I'm excited for that. I want to talk to you from the subject of be filled, then be bold. We don't just get filled because it's fun, although it is. We don't just get filled because we're Pentecostals, although we are. We get filled so that then we would be bold in our sphere. We get filled with God so we can then be used by God. And so I want to read to you one of my favorite verses. You might have heard me quote it before, Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully now how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Isn't it amazing how scripture can prophesy to our now? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. God, we thank you for the time we have left tonight. God, we ask that you would move by your Spirit. Lord, we didn't come for church, we came for you. Lord, would you change us from the inside out? Speak, we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Keyboard. Brilliant, amazing. We love you. Give Brother Keyboard a hand. It's good. The context of what Paul is saying here to the church in Ephesus is very important. Sometimes we can preach verses and they're great verses, but to fully grab all the gold out of the passage, we need to understand the context of what it was written to. And so Paul here is writing to a church in Ephesus that is doing very well. Hundreds of people, probably all the house church and atrium churches combined, it would have been in the thousands of new believers. A mixture of God's people, but also the Gentiles that were now accepting Christ, and it was growing rapidly. But Paul writes to them and goes, guys, amazing what's happening, but you're letting the world creep back into the church. And I find it interesting that his tactic here is not just to go, stop doing the bad thing. Stop drinking wine. You're on staff. Stop it. Stop getting drunk. That's not what we want. Instead, he does say that, but he prescribes a solution. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you don't understand the context, you'd go, but they're different things. Like, why? I don't understand. But what Paul is saying is the reason you have a desire for that sinful action is that you are not being diligent with your encounter with him. The reason you have let the world back into the church is you have not let God into you. What the problem is that I want you to be overflowing with my Spirit, and that will satisfy you. Young people that will come to me in our church and say that they've got an addiction, whether it's substance or whether it's a website or whether it's whatever, the first thing I say to them is, do you have a heavenly language? And they're at our church, so a lot of them are like, yeah, I do. And I'm like, okay, speak in your heavenly language for 30 seconds when that urge comes. Because it's very, I'm not being trying to be funny or crass when I say this. It's very hard to engage in an act that is lustful after you have prayed or spoken in tongues for 30 seconds. Why? Because the container is filled with God. And the spirit man or woman on the inside of you is being stirred for the things of God. And it actually affects your neuron chemistry. And so Paul is writing to this church going, guys, the solution is a fresh encounter. The solution to what is going on is a fresh encounter. And I'd like to prescribe to us today that Jesus is our everything. Jesus is what we chase. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is the one that gets us to heaven. But fresh encounter and communion with his Spirit is what keeps us on the straight and narrow of Christian faith. And so we've got so many Christians who love the Lord, but are in 10-year cycles of pain, sin, and addiction, but haven't encountered the Holy Spirit since 1974. And are wondering what is the issue because they genuinely love God. The problem is that you are not continually being filled by his Spirit. And there is room then in the container, let alone being bold, let alone stepping out in faith. Why am I telling you this? I think we would all subscribe to Trinitarianism, monotheism, which is a fancy Bible college word for the great three in one, the Trinity. We believe that God is the great three in one. But what I've found in my 12 years of preaching across the place is actually a lot of churches believe in the great two-in-one. They believe in God the Father. We love him. He's a good Father. We're like, yes, I need that. Jesus, we are all about that. I needed a Savior. Everyone's like, help me. Like, I need rescuing. Then it's like, all right, we've got God the Father, God the Son. And then it's like, and the Holy Spirit. And we're like, I think so. I think I heard about that once in youth. Yeah, is he the one that pushes people over? Is he the one that makes people speak gibberish? Is he what? And then some of us have like Pentecostal trauma. Those of us that are over 30, if we grew up in hyper-Pentecostal environment, I have Pentecostal trauma and I'm a Pentecostal. I took my friend Derek from my soccer team to church one time when I was younger. And Derek didn't know the Lord. And I took him to Cheam Assembly Fellowship. My dad was preaching. Dad's a good preacher. He's also quite a calm preacher. I'm like, this is a safe bet. What I didn't count on was my mum felt the flow of the prophetic. And we're in the car and she was like chatting to dad. She's like, oh, honey, I just feel a prophetic unction. I'm like, not today. Halfway through worship, she gets up on the mic. I've got a word. Starts prophesying. Now, I want to be honoring to my mum accurately, but I still was like, I love this. Looking at Derek, looking back, looking at Derek, looking up, looking at Derek, looking back. Mum goes, Derek, let me pray for you. Goes up to him, starts prophesying about the call of God, a chosen people. I'm like, it's over. Derek's never going to get saved. Then he fell over. I'm like, now he's going to tell everyone at school. And then, no word of a lie, that service, I just hear, someone's blowing a shofar up the back. So I get it, man. I got some religious trauma too. I get it. But this is the thing. We have to get over the fact that some of our faith system is not normal. It's not natural. It's supernatural. So funny, some people are like, oh, I don't know about the falling over and about the deliverance and about the... But you're fine with a dude dying and then coming back to life 3 days later. And then... No, wait. And then All the other tombs opened. Like, read the Gospels. It's freaky. Like, I'm okay with Jesus coming back because it's like, that makes sense. There was a little girl in Jerusalem that went, it's Uncle Harry. Uncle Harry's like walking through Jerusalem like, I've seen things. Like, it's crazy. We're fine with Peter walking on water. We're fine watching Prince of Egypt, watching them walk through the Red Sea, touching the water. We're fine with that. Why? Because it requires no faith or risk of us to believe in things that happened 2,000 years ago. But the same God that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that opened those tombs, the same God that did those things then is the God that's moving today. And so I'm right with you, friend. I'm right with you in the, it's a bit odd. Like, I haven't graduated. I'm believing one day I'm going to step into a Bill Johnson, Ben Fitzgerald anointing where I'm just going to be on a plane and God's going to be like, lay hands on that person. I'm going to be like, yes. I'm not there. I'm like, I don't want to. It's weird. I'll look weird. I got a curly mullet thing. I feel uncomfortable. I'm sweating. I'm sweating just talking about it. But we get filled that we would be bold. Be honest with God. Do you have a theological problem or are you just scared? Because if you're just scared, all good. But bring an honest petition unto the Lord. Oh, I don't want to be. A lot of people say to me, I don't want to be out of control. I get that. Remember the first time I got slain in the Spirit, I opened my eyes. I felt the peace of God. And I was like, this is weird. I'm on the floor. Someone trod on me. When do I get up? People can see my belly. All those things at once. The hard part about falling over is not falling over, because you usually have good catches, especially here. The hard part is knowing when to get up, because you're laying there and you're like, I want to appear spiritual. I know the encounter's real, but now that I'm thinking this, am I in the flesh? Should I get up? What should I do? But also, the service might go for a long time, and if I just lay here, I might just get out of some of like standing. And so we then just get into our brain, and it's awesome. Catherine Kuhlman used to say being slain in the Spirit is the operating table of God. Because for many of us, we're never still enough or quiet enough in our minds for the Lord to actually minister. So sometimes he just goes, lights out. Okay, now I can do some work. Okay, a couple things that the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, is not. It's important that we, sometimes to get what something is, we have to know what it's not. Number one, it's not a license to do what you want. Young adult. God will very rarely, and by rarely, I mean never, disagree with your pastors. Also, the Lord is not schizophrenic. So young, adults do it too, but it's just easier to pick on young adults. Young adults are like, God told me to date them. Like 3 weeks later, like, God told me not to date them. 3 days later, like, God told me to study. Then it's like, God told me I shouldn't study anymore. It's like, oh man, either God's having a bad day or you are just driving by feeling. And so the Holy Spirit, that's not what the license he gives you to do. Actually, the license he gives you is to do hard things, to push through, to be consistent. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, we're all like, oh, the gifts. No. The fruits. If you get slain in the Spirit tonight, which I'm believing there's going to be at least 745 people that get slain in the Spirit, you should come up with more fruit of the Spirit. More of what he is. Okay, it's not 6-hour meetings with flags and essential oils. It can be a 6-hour meeting, and I've got nothing against flags or essential oils. There's no flags at my church. But that's just a fun way of saying the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be weird and unrelatable. It's part of why, because I feel this is a message on my life, it's part of the reason I don't take myself too seriously and we can laugh together, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, not the somberness of the Lord. And actually, when we have joy and we don't take ourselves seriously, we're more open to what God would want to do. Number three, he's not a reason to not submit to your pastors. Number four, he doesn't make you better than others, makes you better than you. There's nothing worse than spiritual piety. There's nothing worse than pride, Pentecostal pride, where we walk around thinking that we're somehow better and more amazing and anointed than maybe our more conservative brothers and sisters. No. The Holy Spirit doesn't come upon you so that you can walk around thinking you're better. The Holy Spirit comes upon you because then you'll be better than you. I don't know about you. When I'm stuck in traffic at 7 a.m., I am not the most holy person. Just me? You're like, Pastor, come on. I hate traffic. I hate driving. So the indwelling of the Spirit is to keep us on mission. He's not needed for entry to heaven. He's for your trip to Coles. One day I was preaching about the Holy Spirit. This lady came up to me. She came up to me and she went, "Young man, I do not need the Holy Spirit to get to heaven. Jesus Christ is my propitiation and my advocate." Now, she is 100% accurate. You believe in Jesus? You're all very quiet. What is he going to say? I don't even know. Let's go on an adventure together. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you will be saved. Right? The Holy Spirit, it's not a salvation issue. It's an effectiveness issue. You don't need the Holy Spirit to get to heaven. You need the Holy Spirit to bring heaven to earth. I shared this at conference, but a lot of you probably weren't there, so I'll share it again. But I came from a futsal game and went to Coles and I walked in, and the Lord wants to be able to speak to his kids whenever he wants and give you instruction at all times. It's super inconvenient. So I'm in Coles and my wife had asked for a pasta puttanesca. And so I'm in there. It's not relevant. I just felt like saying that. And I went in and I was getting the ingredients, and there was a Samoan lady in the deli. And the Lord goes, and she was like 6'5". Like, and she was like, she did CrossFit or something. She was, poor. And the Lord goes, "Pray for that lady." And I'm like, nah. So I ran around Coles, ignoring the Lord for 5 minutes. I'm like pretending I can't hear him. "Oh, I need some milk." And I'm sorry. "Oh, like, what's that?" And the Lord's like, "Are you serious, bro? Like, pray for her." And I was like, "Oh," he's like, "Oh, okay, so you can preach in front of like thousands of people and it's all good and you're all confident, but you can't be the church." And I'm like, "Okay, all right." He has to be pretty firm with me sometimes. And so I go up to this lady and I go, "Excuse me, ma'am." And she turns around. Watch out, went up to her and I went, "Excuse me." And she said, "Yes." And I was like, "Can I pray for you?" And she said, "What?" And I was like, "Can I pray for you?" And she's like, "I guess what you're looking for in an evangelistic moment is just a little bit of positive body language, a smile, anything, anything." She's giving me nothing. So I start church panicking. So I just do what we do at church. I'm like, "Can I put my hand on your shoulder? Do you want to close your eyes?" She's like, "No." I was like, "That's fair." Like, a random dude wearing a futsal kit holding like some pasta puttanesca is like, "Close your eyes. Can I touch your shoulder?" Like, it's weird. And so I start praying for her, and I'm just me. So I had to do that, but I just did that. And I'm just doing a warm-up prayer. You know those warm-up prayers? "Lord, thank you that, you know, the plans you have for us," says the Lord, "plans for good and not for evil, plans to give her a hope and a future." But inwardly, I'm hardcore panicking. I'm like, "Lord, help now." And I said, "Can you give me something?" And he goes, "Tell her that I know her youngest son," I'm being God looking down at me, "tell her I know that her youngest son is on hard drugs and let her know that I haven't forgotten about him and his story is not yet written." It is wow, but I didn't want to say it. Because the more specific the risk you take, whatever the risk is, the higher the risk you feel. And that's why we get filled, so that we'd be bold. And so I said to her, "Hey, I don't want to be weird, but I feel like God's just told me." And she interrupts my prayer and goes, "Do you think God speaks to you?" And I'm like there, I'm sweating. I'm in Mango Hill Coles. And I'm like, "Lord, get me out of here. This is a train wreck." And I just went, "Yep." And I said, "I just feel like the Lord is telling me that he knows that your youngest son is on substances and hard drugs, but he just wants to let you know that he hasn't forgotten about him and his story is not yet written." And I did a Pentecostal peek. I opened my eyes and she is like this far from my face. And I was like, "This is it. This is how I die." Holding a pasta puttanesca. And I just thought she'd do that thing that the Hulk does to Loki. Like, bang, 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 bang. And, but she's crying and she, no exaggeration, she grabs my hand and I'm like, "Here it is." And she puts my hand on her head and she goes, "You pray for me right now, young man." And I was like, I'm pretty incorrigible if you haven't picked that up. So I started getting pumped. I'm like, "Well, Lord, we thank you." In this Mango Hill Colts, my legs are, I'm like, "God, we thank you." People start looking. It's like these mums with like 17 carrots in their baskets. Like, "Karen, I see you. Move on." And so I start praying. I'm like, "Lord, thank you that you care about. Thank you that we just had like a little prayer meeting together. This lady's crying." And then I was panicked, so I just left. I wish I could tell you that I led her to the Lord. I just left and I went out to the car. I'm almost at the car and the Lord's like, "Bro, I was like, what now, Lord? You're going to go talk to her? See what happened? I was like, oh, yes. So I awkwardly waited outside of Coles until she came out. And she'd done like a big shot. Like she was ready to go. Like, and she came out and I said, ma'am, I don't want to be weird, but can I ask you, like, what just happened? And she's like, you're not going to believe this. Her entire countenance had changed. She's like, you're not going to believe this. She's like, I was an elder in a Baptist church for many years. She's like, my husband still goes. He's a faithful man of God. But when our youngest boy, our miracle baby, got onto drugs, I started to doubt God. I left church. I haven't been back in 10 years. Wow. Listen, watch God. Watch God about to show off. That morning, she said, this morning my husband forced me to have a prayer meeting with him. Man of God. She's like, so I sassily agreed to it. And he prayed for about 30 minutes. And he said, honey, you've got to pray something. And so she's like, I looked at him and I prayed this. She said, Lord, if you're real, if you care about our son, today, send something so obnoxiously obvious check this out, that you haven't forgotten about him and that his story is not yet written. And so I'm outside of the Coles. I'm like, just crying. This is why we have an encounter. We get filled so that we're bold. It's not for us. It's so it would flow through us. And I'm not here tonight to tell you, if Brother Keyboard could join me, that'd be great. I'm not here tonight to be like, and this is how you do miracles. And No. Still, most of the testimonies I tell you are from the last 3 years, either an executive pastor or a senior pastor, and I still feel not enough. And I still get nervous. I hope tomorrow on the plane, the Lord doesn't ask me to pray for the person next to me. And he always does, and it's the worst. This isn't part of my message. I'm just stressed. But I just want to encourage you tonight. You don't need to be amazing. You don't need to have a stoic ability. You just need to go, God, I guess I'll give it a go. I guess I'll try. I'll try to do something. All right, I got to keep moving. Skip that. No time. Some of us, I don't know, Is there a flat white or a coffee cup on the front row? There's not. It's the 5 p.m., so that makes sense. But let's talk about coffee for a second. In relation to, yeah, bro, bring me that. That's water and you've lied to everyone, but that's okay. Bio cup. So many Christians treat the infilling of the Holy Spirit, this is a hilarious moment for you to start playing, like coffee. Work with me. There is three different groups of people in this room when it comes to coffee. There is the I don't drink coffee group. Let me see your hands. I don't know what's wrong with you. Don't be proud about it. Only Pastor Ken's allowed to have his hand up confidently because I'm submitted to him. I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know what happened when you were younger, but you should be drinking coffee. Then you've got this group. I love this group. This is the, I like coffee and I like a good coffee, but I'll take most coffees. Like in a pinch, I'll drive through Starbucks. Like if it's bad, I'll go to the 7-Eleven, do that iced coffee thing. It's actually all right. Like, but I'd prefer a good coffee, but, and then, so that's group two. Who's that? Who's like the, I like good coffee, but I'll drink any coffee. And then, and I love you, but this group is the worst. You have decided that coffee is an ancient Mesopotamian art form. And you make up stuff. I'm convinced you lie. You're like, oh yeah, bro, I'm getting like persimmon coming through my lymph nodes. It's like, no, you're not, shut up. The other day, one of our young adults came up to me and was like, Pastor Fred, you gotta try this bean. It's from it. I was like, okay, sip that. And he literally looks at me and goes, dude, can you taste the citrus in there? And I was like, what are you talking about? You're insane, okay? If you're in this place and that's you, we bless you, we love you. Why is this dude talking about coffee? Because this is what we do with Encounter. We've got some people that are like, I don't want one. It's not for me. Spirit's not for me. Father, Son, and Holy Bible. It's not for me. I don't drink. I don't know how to receive from heaven. I'm not into it. That's not a great place to be. And then we've got this side. And you'll accept an encounter from God if it is hand sown and flown to you through many different airlines, many different filters. You're like, I will receive from God if Pastor Ken gets Bill Johnson for conference this year. And if on the second night, Bill calls me out by name, number, and address. And after he does that, I want to look to the left of the convention center and see three cats flying across the room. And if God does that, I will come down the front and yield to God. Why are we putting God through 700 filters to impact his kids? You need to be like this. You need to be like, I just need a drink. I don't really care what it looks like. I don't care if the worship was good. I don't care if the speaker was good. I just need a drink. I just need a fresh touch. I just need an encounter. I'm not going to box God because I need to be filled so that I would be bold. I need to be filled so that I would be bold. Okay, well, is being filled with the Spirit manifesting? We've got 8 minutes. We're going to use all 8. Is that biblical? Can I say that's an okay question to ask? What I like is honest, great questions. I don't like when we hide behind spiritual sounding rhetoric to seem virtuous. I like it when we just go, well, is it in the Bible? Let's have a look. The priest dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles, and it says that they could not stand for the glory of God. One translation says it was so dense they could not move. Daniel said, when the Lord spoke to me, my body fell to the ground in Daniel 10. John on the Isle of Patmos, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Acts 10, Peter, before he witnesses to Cornelius, goes to the roof and goes into a prophetic trance and sees heaven open. And then, I didn't write this down, but it's just fun, he then goes and gets 50 Italians saved, which I just think is great. I think after tonight, we all have an encounter. Let's all go get 50 Italians saved. Probably one of my favorite passages of scripture, and it's throughout all the synoptic gospels, but in John 18, when a cohort of soldiers, which is around 600 soldiers, came to arrest Jesus, he says, I am him. I reckon probably one of the most potent reveals of the presence of Jesus ever in history. It says, I am him. And every biblical translation records that they fell back in some way. They weren't at a church service. They were going to try and kill the Son of God. But just the mention of his name, just the revealing of Jesus, the God-man, made them physically respond. See, we've probably read all of those stories. Probably read about Peter and Cornelius and Daniel falling to the ground. We were probably fine. Oh, cool. Oh, trance. Oh, open heaven. Oh, heaven. How'd we go if someone just came down to the altar and went into an open heaven trance? I don't know. Depends on if it's real or not. But even then, It's not a theological problem. Yeah. Just we're not sure. And that's okay. How much do you want to find out? Yes. How much do you want to find out? Yes. By nature, I'm a pretty like routine, organized guy. There is nothing that makes me happier than the drums crashing out at my home church and the host walks on with 3, 2, 1. Come on, church, why don't we look? Like, I'm actually not like a hyper holy roller, let's go for 3 hours. God, I'm pretty ordered. So what the Lord has done throughout my life is he's just assaulted me with encounters. I've told you some of them, I won't go through them all, but you know, like, I mean, Pastor Tim has been abusive towards me. Pastor Fred, would you come quickly. Oh, praise God. How are you? Lift your hands. The God of heaven and earth. Are you married? Praise God. In the name of... Like he does this a wind up. And I, before he's even laid hands on me, I'm like, ah. I've had Reinhard Bonnke pray for me. I've had Heidi Baker pray for me. I was at Glow Conference last year. And I was, and yes, this is a name drop. And yes, this is lame that I'm doing this. But here we are. I was catching for Bill Johnson. It was like catching for an angel. He ministers the same way he preaches. He moves slowly and calmly. And people are just getting bodied. It is the greatest. And then I was just having so much fun. And then he looks at me and he goes, And I was like, what? And then Dave Hall jumped the line, jumped in front of me. So Bill gave him a word. Dave goes down. I was very offended. And then Bill leant over Dave, put his hand on my... He doesn't know who I am, obviously. Put his hand on my shoulder and literally said this, kingdom come. It's the name of my church. Kingdom come. Let him be a vessel of the anointing. Well, I went into triple heaven. I literally ended up on like two dudes. I was like crying. I was like, The Lord doesn't do that because he likes to see his creation fall over. Although I reckon the angels are up there like, bro, look at that guy. Look at that guy. He does it because he's God. And sometimes he wants to remind his people that he is God and his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And he knows that if he would fill us again with his spirit, we would go and be his hands and feet. We would go and effect change wherever we are. We got to be filled that we would be bold. Let me give you a couple of testimonies, then I'm going to make sure everyone's saved. Then we're going to pray for everyone and anoint people with oil, and three cats are going to fly across that wall. when my dad was still the senior pastor, we had a revival night at church. Went for about 2 hours, worship, prophecy. It's amazing. And we drove home and we're almost home and Anna goes, let's pray for our neighbors. Now I'm going to be honest with you. Once again, this wasn't like 10 years ago. It was like two. And I was like, oh, okay. I'd literally just been on stage being like, we got to reach our city. We've got to. And I was like, let's pray for our neighbors. I'm like, oh, well. And I was like, go into all the world. Are you well? It's late. They might be asleep. We get home and they're both outside on their deck having a cigarette. And I'm real honest with you. I was just so nervous. I don't even know why. So I abandoned my wife. My wife got out of the car, walked up to them. And I went round behind the garage. I just got to be real honest with you. And I was like, oh, man. And I hear Anna being like, hey, Josh. Hey, Kelsey. How are you? These guys are not saved. But nice people. And she starts talking to them. They're like, where have you been? Like, oh, I've been at church. It's awesome. Oh, cool. We're not Christians, eh? Like, we don't like it. And I'm there and I'm like, oh, this isn't going well. And then I felt Anna tap into the anointing. She said, Josh, is something wrong with your back? He goes, yeah, it's... I can't say what he said, but he's like, yeah, it's not good. I need a miracle, he said. And she goes, Josh, can I pray for you? I thought, I've got to get out there. So I walked out there. And they didn't really think anything of it, but Anna looks at me like, oh, hey. And she goes, Josh, I want to pray for your back. He's like, oh, I don't know about all that stuff. His wife goes, nah, babe, give it a shot. What do you got to lose? You've been whinging all day. So Anna puts her hand on his back, and I sheepishly am like speaking in tongues behind her. I'm like, hey, I think I'll just spilling all the shame and guilt and everything. Anna prays. He goes, ow. What? He goes, your hands are so hot. What have you done? No, I'm just praying and believing. She goes, test it out. My faith still wasn't there. I'm like, don't test it out. Let's go first. He tested out. Drops about 700 swear words. But I'll translate it as, oh my goodness, darling, it's better. It's better. And so we were able to talk with him, pray with him. We prayed for his wife. She knelt down. With a cigarette in the mouth. Gives a whole new meaning to holy roller. And Anna's just like, Josh is there. Anna's praying for Kelsey. Kelsey's crying. Josh is praying for her with more faith than me. Josh is like, thank you, Lord, for babe. Thank you, God. We went inside and we chatted about it. I'm almost done. Went inside and we chatted about it. And I said, babe, obviously not my finest moment. Amazing. Well done. You're awesome. And she was like, nah, it's all good. She's like, you do that stuff as well. Like, it's cool. She's like, and I was like, what gave you, outside of a prophetic unction, what made you feel like you could do that? Because if I'm being super honest with you, what makes me stressed is when it's closer to home. It doesn't stress me when I'm praying for someone in another state or another church. My family, my direct family that have walked away from God, terrifying. My neighbors, people that I'm going to see again. I said, babe, what made you do that? She's like, well, we just spent 2 hours getting filled. I had to do something with it. And in that moment, I was like, dang. Because I feel like I get filled all the time. but I've become okay with being a dam, not being a river. And so let it never be said of Nations Church, oh, we're a dam. No, we want to be a river. We want to be a river. Oh, so, you know what? Just go away. Thanks for the coffee, bro. Appreciate it. Last story, and then we'll pray for some people. I was on a plane going down to Futures Church. Got asked pretty last minute by Pastor Josh to come and preach at Paradise. And so I was on a Saturday night late flight. And I was ready for the flight, man. I had like 6 episodes of New Girl ready to go. Had my AirPod Maxes. I was just ready, man. So I sat on the plane. I was next to this lovely Asian mama. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, at the start of the flight, you don't want this. If the Lord tells you to pray for someone, pray it as you're exiting the doors. Because like, if it goes terribly, you're just like, hey. Lord says, pray for this lady. I was like, okay. And I literally said to the Lord, I'll do it at the end of the flight. He goes, you'll do it now. I was like, Lord, I'll do it at the end of the flight. I don't want her to feel awkward. I'll do it at the end of the flight. He's like, oh, cool. So you can go and preach at a place where revival came out of at Paradise, but you can't bring revival on a plane on the way there. I was like, I'll pray for her now. And so I looked at her and I said, ma'am, can I pray for you? She goes, not English. And I wish I could tell you something like I looked at her and I spoke in tongues, and it was her dialect. And then she fell out. And so I said, oh, okay. I managed to get her to understand the word bless. Like, can I bless you? So I start praying for her. I'm feeling so awkward. We haven't even taxied yet off the thing. So people in the other seats are like, is that chubby dude hurting that lady? What's going on? Ben, you better come out here quick. No, I'm losing this room, and I feel a little bit drunk in the spirit. So where were we? The airplane. So I say, Lord, give me something to say to her. And he says, she's got a damaged wrist. Pray for it. So I did what any reasonable person would do. And I tried to cop a sneak peek of if there was like a cast or something. And she had a hoodie on. And I'm like, well played. And then I said, ma'am, do you have a sore wrist? Is there something wrong with your wrist? And she goes, ah, yeah. Lifts her hoodie up, pulls it down, and she's got a splint on her wrist. And I said, can I pray for you? Can I bless your wrist? She puts it out towards me and I prayed. I said, Father, I thank you for your healing power. We're filled, that would be bold. Even if our boldness is in fear and trembling, swift obedience will do more for the kingdom than great faith. So I'm praying, and she's like, aye. And then, I didn't ask her to do this, she starts hitting it on the middle thing. She's like, I'm like, no, don't do that, stop. She's like, hey, yeah, like she's pumped. Takes the splint off, and she, no joke, she goes, throws it on the ground. I was like, that's awesome. Then the Lord's like, lead her to Christ, lead her to me. I was like, she doesn't speak English. So it took about 10 minutes to explain, hey, the man that blessed you, the man that healed you, do you want it? And as we were taking off to go to Adelaide, she prayed with me and gave her heart to the Lord. This is why we're filled, is so that we would be bold. Do not be drunk with wine. Do not be drunk on finance. Do not be drunk with success. Do not be drunk on affirmation. Do not be drunk on pornography. Do not be drunk on substance. Do not be drunk on what people think of you. But instead, be filled with His Spirit. And you will be such an effective believer. You will break out of that rut you've been in, and something powerful will happen. Why don't we stand tonight at the service? Lord, we thank you that you'd fill us so that we'd be bold. We want to be bold. We want to be bold. We want to be bold. Oh, Lord. Divine appointments by the Swan River. Father God, divine appointments at Optus Stadium. Divine appointments in the CBD. Divine appointments with our family, divine appointments in the office, divine appointments with our mates, divine appointments on social media. Father, let us be your hands and feet. Wherever we go, there you are. Wherever we go, there your Spirit is, there the kingdom is.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Thank you.